We're here with David Taub, one of three candidates for two seats on the Beaufort City Council. I'm David Lauderdale. We're here with Brian Tolley, our executive editor, and Rick Brungette, our projects editor. So let's start right with it. You say you've got a plan for the fee that residents of Beaufort are paying to SCENG or will be paying.
Yeah.
What is that? What is your idea on
that? Well, let me, if I may, just back up and set the table. 2 years ago, Mr. McPhee made the motion the council passed unanimously to set up a special tax district in the city of Beaufort. They increased the franchise fee by 40%, from 5% to 7%. That's the highest in South Carolina. That taxes the air station, the hospital, every church, every business, including the Beaufort Gazette, your offices over there, and every residence. $2.8 million to bury the lines on Boundary Street. Now, we were told as early as 2008 that all the money necessary for this project was in hand and it needed to tax the citizens. The tax is not necessary, even at that time. There was an alternative method for funding. That's an important project. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not against the project, but there's an alternative way of funding that. When I was mayor, we joined with SCNG, we were the second city after Charleston, in a special project funding mechanism where SCNG and the city would share the cost 50-50. I lobbied the council then.
That's okay.
if that's not, no, that's not the
AAA. Okay.
I lobbied the council. It's in the minutes to use that mechanism and using the TIF. I don't need to explain that. Y'all know what that is. Money that could be used, but they said no. They just dismissed me. Well, we would have gotten $1 million more if we had used that mechanism, and we wouldn't have had to tax the folks. The impact of the tax is it's anti-business. It penalizes every business. I've talked to several business leaders who, first off, didn't even know about it. It hasn't been implemented yet. It won't be implemented until 1 month after the lines are buried. We've got about a six-month window on that. I did the analysis on the hospital. I got 2 months' worth of the hospital's electric bills, and I ran the analysis. I gave that the chairman. She passed that on to the CFO, and he did the analysis on the impact. $900,000 the hospital will have to raise in new patient fees to pay the $135,000 to $150,000 in the new tax. Now, that's just not right. It's not right to tax our churches. It's not right to tax our businesses. Worst of all, it wasn't necessary. There was an alternative that was rejected. Now, in the meantime, being called out of retirement, and I'll speak to that in just a minute, I have focused on that. There are four different funding sources that we can use right now to pay the $2.8 million that we're paying SCNG. SCNG is doing all the work. They're providing the labor, the equipment, materials and supplies, and the supervision. That's just the way it is. The city's not doing that. But we're paying them to do that. Okay. Our share is $2.8 million. Their share is $800,000. We left $1 million on the table. Here are the sources right now. We can extend the TIF for 1 or 2 years. If all three entities, the county, the school, and the city participate, we'll raise $2.5 million in 1 year, and it's done. If it's just the city, it's about $500,000. The contingency fund in the TIF today is $5.3 million. That contingency fund is there for exactly that reason. And that money is raised, the money in the TIF was raised from all three entities, the county, the school board, and the city. And that's exactly what it's for. The city manager tells me once those lines are buried, there'll be almost no work order changes, and that money's going to be sitting there. We can pay for that 1 year. The loan from SCNG is for 10 years. The 7% is the high on the franchise fee is the highest in the state. SCNG doesn't want to be tarred with that they would be glad to change all that around. Now, I haven't talked to them. It would have been inappropriate for me to do that as a citizen. But we can reopen those negotiations, and I, having served 5 years as a judge, I know a bit about contracts. And they'll be glad to terminate that contract and have us pay them off much more quickly than 10 years. So it's right here, Ms. Lauderdale, in my little memo. This is going to get published this afternoon on my website, but you're the first. Now, I shared that with Mr. Fastenau on Monday's interview, but he promised me it would not be published until after our interview, online or anything like that, because I wanted to give y'all the first opportunity to know that I wasn't just blowing smoke, that that's a realistic. So my number one priority is to stop this tax before it's implemented. We've got about a six-month window in order to do that. I already have one of the council members who's told me that he'll support that. We just need to find a third. And, I can't imagine why someone would want to implement this punitive tax, which punishes the hospital and our businesses, when we've got the money in the bank that's there for that purpose. So that's my plan for SC&G tax.
Now, did you have another plan for some money, ATAX money?
Yes.
That you mentioned?
Oh, I'm surprised you know about that.
What is that one?
Yeah, let me talk about that. And I'm going to, it's just my habit. I sometimes go far afield, but I'm going to connect the dots. For me, one of the top priorities is economic development. But to focus on Boundary Street and tourism. Let me speak first to Boundary Street. When all this is said and done, we're going to spend close to $40 million on that project, which includes taking all those properties off the tax rolls on the Battery Creek side. We need an effective plan that focuses on incentives, expediting the review process. It's a special district with special needs. We ought to have special rules that apply to that, which help recruit the investment and the development that we've been told all along is the whole purpose of this. It's not there just to be a pretty entrance in the Beaufort. That's not what we were told. It's to enhance economic development in that corridor. We've got three commercial corridors. We've got 170, we've got Boundary, and we have the Parkway. We need to focus on Boundary Street, and I will work with my colleagues in any way to develop that kind of incentive approach. Included in that, besides the more simplified review and permitting process, you got to have a positive tax policy. This SC&G tax sends all the wrong message to all the wrong people. But hopefully we will stop that in its tracks. Now I want to talk a bit about tourism and specifically to your question about that tax. Tourism is one of our central economic generators after the military and the hospital. Hospital is our biggest employer under a single roof. There are studies. I have had these conversations now with the Chamber of Commerce and our tourism management group. They like what I have to say. We don't invest enough in tourism marketing. Studies have shown that at a minimum, for every $1 you invest in marketing and tourism, you get $2 in return. Right now, there are three mechanisms. Let me draw this out for you real quick. There's three sources from these hospitality and ATAX for funding tourism. You've got the state ATAX, and that's 2%. And it has very special formula for how these monies have to be spent. You've got the local ATAX. That's 3%. Very flexible rules. And then you have the HTAX, and that's at 3%. Those two have the very same rules. We give our management group only 4% of the H-tax revenues. We give them $0. We're one of the very few counties, or cities, I should say, in South Carolina that doesn't use any of this money, which is a much larger pool by 50%, than this one. We don't give them any. Now, here, there are very special rules. First $25,000 goes into the city's general fund. The next 5% of that balance goes into the city's general fund. No strings attached. That doesn't have to go to tourism. That can be spent anyway. The next 30% is designated specifically to the city's DMO, the designated marketing organization. And that's the chamber, and they have a special department for doing that. After that, the remaining 65% has to be awarded on the basis of grants. Well, what's happened now is that is a big pool for funding a bunch of collateral operations, like HBF or the State Historic Society, the local chapter, and that sort of thing. Now, those are good projects, but this is not the funding mechanism for them. They need to come over here. All of this money needs to be dedicated to the city's designated marketing organization. It allows, and we probably ought to up this from 4% to at least 5%. The grant, they still have to submit a grant, but what they really should be submitting is a master plan, a strategic plan for how they're going to market Beaufort over the next 3 to 5 year period, and there should be benchmarks and indices, and we've got those. You've got USCB over here, a whole division committed to hospitality industry, and they have mechanisms for evaluating what you're doing, if it makes sense or not. And that's what we hold the chamber to. Are you meeting those benchmarks? We're a funding organization. We're not a management organization. We got our fingers
too
much.
So you want the ATAX money to be going to the DMO,
yes.
I.e. the chamber?
Okay? Yeah. Well, DMO is a subset. Wells. Rob Wells, and he's a sharp young fellow, really sharp. I was very impressed with him. We need to increase this because it's an investment in our second most important economic driver. So those are the two. So that's a short version.
Would that take money away from the current city operations budget?
I hope. Well, this money, the $25,000, and then the 5%.
Right, but from the local ATAX and the hospitality.
You can't follow. It's just the way the accounting's done. You can't follow where that money goes once it goes into the general fund.
But where is the local ATAX money going and hospitality?
I have asked
hospitality.
Both this and this. I have asked for a list of recipients from fiscal 16, and I haven't been able to get it yet. So I can't answer that question because I haven't been given the information. Now, city's been very, very good about providing me with information. And I've asked her, we've got an excellent city manager and an excellent chief of police. I'm going to speak to that in just a minute. So I can't answer that question. Ideally, we wouldn't want to do that, but we might have to make some decisions about low priority. See, I didn't bring that information with me. There were about 15 or 20 grantees,
right.
One of which was a couple of $100,000 that went to police support downtown. Now, that's important, but that should have been funded a different way. That wasn't what that's for. Really stretching the boundaries of what the intent of the legislation was for the state ATAX.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I would have to look deeply at who's on that list and what might have to be
As far as the city has been talking about for years of needing more revenue, what did you think about ideas of taxing nonprofits?
I think that's a very bad idea. Let me show you. I've printed it out. Last 3 years, city's been increasing its revenue. I know I put it in here because I printed it out late last night when I got back from one of my meets and greets. I've heard that. It's just not true. The city may need more revenue is because they spend more, but the You see, we've been increasing revenue, and every one of the revenue sources have increased. There's no such thing, David, as a vacuum in city government with regard to spending. That's why I hope you endorse me, because I have a very conservative, common sense approach to financial responsibility. We've got my whole record as mayor. I never raised taxes. We live within our means. We didn't take on huge debt. The most debt I had as mayor, total debt, was about $650,000. The debt the city has today is almost $20 million. The payment on the debt this year alone is $2.5 million. Three times the payment on the debt than I had for whole debt. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't things worth spending money on. Quite the contrary. But you got to be a whole lot more, I hate to use this
You're
word.
You're talking about general obligation bonds?
Yes, I am. I'm talking about bonded indebtedness. Yes, bond debt. Yes, okay. Yes, I am. Both GR and GO.
GO,
yeah.
Okay.
And I want to come back to this notion about Moody's and all this. That's been saying about that tells us how wonderful the city is being managed. I wanted to speak to that.
We'll speak to that.
All right. It has been said by the other candidates that the city has been managed real well. And the indicator of that is this wonderful Moody's rating. When I was on the board of Beaufort Jasper Water and Sewer Authority, I served both as treasurer for 3 years and chairman of 3 years. During that time, we issued two very large general revenue bonds. One, when I was treasurer, for right at $58 million, and one as chairman was a $40 million. So almost $100 million in bonds. As both the treasurer and the chairman, I had to interview with Moody's and Standard & Poor's. There's only one thing Wall Street cares about, and that's can you pay the bonds? They didn't even look at our audit. They interviewed me. They wanted to know what were we going to do to guarantee investors that they would be paid. We had to pass a resolution committing the full faith and credit of the institution to pay for the bonds. That's what Moody's rating is. And ours were three big A's with Standard & Poor's, A, two little A's with Moody's. On the first one, I can't. I have printed it out. I've got it here, but the details aren't important. Important is concept. My colleagues are either, I really don't want to be critical, but they put it out. It's very naive understanding of what that relationship is. It isn't an indicator of how well. They couldn't care less if you're. In fact, they do care. They care that you will raise taxes to pay the bonds on a general, especially a general obligation. General revenue, they will do a financial evaluation. Well, I interviewed with Moody's twice on those, and Standard & Poor's on the telephone. Those cheap guys, they wouldn't fly down here. And with all the bond attorneys. So I've spoken to that.
Well, about the annexation on Ladies Island, and Ladies Island people are looking to the town saying, what have you done to us? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, what is your solution?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The solution is not to annex any of the residential areas on Ladies Island. They don't want us, and I don't want them. This new plan, the chamber gave us a list of questions to speak to at the forum, and one of them had to do with this new incentive plan to annex businesses with tax forgiveness for up to 10 years to bring these donut holes into the corridor. We don't need to be looking to bringing in new businesses that we're going to waive taxes for 10 years. And that, and it's actually, you're the money guy. If you waive the taxes for 5 years, it takes you 10 years to get your money back to net zero. And that's for businesses that are not even in the city. We need to be focusing those kinds of incentives, and I'm not sure that's the right incentive, on Boundary Street. That's got to be our number one priority in economic development because of all the money we're investing there. What's happened in the past in the commerce, the failed commerce park is a precise example. We start these things, then we just kind of lose interest and forget about it, and they just languish out there. There was never a plan to develop that. Now, fortunately, Councilman Murray has taken that on as a project. I fear that even the best efforts are not going to overcome 50 years of failure on that.
Well, is Buford able to provide the police coverage, et cetera, that is going to be needed on Ladies Island?
Yeah,
with Walmart? And
that's a very good question.
The intersection, they say, is already overcrowded.
Yeah, we're going to have to take the revenue from Walmart and dedicate it to those kinds of activities. Until I can get into the budget, and that's one of the very first things I will do. I was told by all of my friends in your interview, be humble. Be humble. It's hard to tell you about my assets and what I bring to the table without sounding unhumble. But I come from a science background. I know how to do analyses. That's one of the things been missing in some of these decision makings. And no even superficial cost-benefit analysis of some of these things. For example, it took me a half an hour to put together a tax model of gains and losses from those properties that are being taken off of Boundary Street along Battery Creek. We will never, never recover the tax dollars loss on that. Now, you may say, well, that's okay, it'll be pretty and it'll enhance the project and all that. But there was no analysis done of gains and loss. J.P. Morgan said the ninth wonder of the world was compound interest. And he was right. Every year you don't replace those lost revenues, it doubles. So when they take them all off, three of them have already been taken off, that's $3 million worth of properties. And the next year, then that's $6 million. And the next year, that's $9 million. We're not going to see any development on Boundary Street for at least a couple of years. Nobody's going to start anything until the project's done. That's another year. And once you get your CO for a new development, the taxes don't come online for another year. So I bring a sharp mind, analytical skills, and an understanding that you have to do those kinds of things when making these kinds of decisions. Now, let's bring that back around to Ladies Island. One of my priorities is more community policing. Brought community policing to Buford when I was mayor. We brought in Bill Neal as the new chief of police. He introduced, and that was one of the criteria for hiring him, that he would institute community policing. We need more of that. We need to see more police officers in our neighborhoods. And if we give up a few parking tickets on Rebo Road to reassign those officers, I can live with that. I have no problem. Now, on Ladies Island, I feel like those developments over there that many people are unhappy with have to carry a larger share of that burden of providing those services, and in this case, both fire and police. My understanding is the fire district's going to give us that building from the old fire station right by Airport Junction, and that'll probably be a substation. But I have to look at the actual figures. I don't want to say things. If you know me, and none of you gentlemen really know me, I hesitate to make statements until I have all the facts and I do the analysis. So generally when I say something, it's based on facts and a good analysis. I don't know the answer to that other than we're going to have to look at the developments over there as carrying more of the burden of providing those services. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine.
Maybe this... this might be... Hello? Yes, I'm in an interview right now. Are you at my car? Okay, I'll be through here in maybe 5 to 10 minutes, and I'll be out at the car. Just come on into the parking lot. The hood is up. Thank you. I'm sorry. I want to say two more things that are important. Well, more than two, but quickly. I've already spoken to the business about the Moody's. There's also a rumor out there, y'all can figure out who's spreading these rumors, that I'm difficult to work with. Fellas, you don't get anything done by being difficult to work with. It's a counterproductive model. I've run a very successful business. I ran a charitable organization, and I ran the city for 10 years. You have to work with your colleagues. Three votes gets things done. I got more things to do with my time than to get up there just to be fussy with folks. So I know how to work with people. I've got good people skills. That's just political rhetoric out there. Do I sometimes feel strongly about things? You bet. Y'all wrote some very favorable things about me in your editorials when I helped stop that craziness down in the waterfront. I don't have enough time to speak, although Mr. Fastenow has it, about the master plan. It's an awful waste of $2 million. Do you know that developing the waterfront park is still in the master plan, even though we stopped that? It's section 2.2, page 30. Got to take that completely out of there. We have to protect our neighborhoods. They want to double the density in Mossy Oaks. Last thing, I've come out of retirement because a lot of folks, after the River Place debacle, said we really need your experience and leadership back on council. Most of them wanted me to run for mayor. That's a long story about why I chose not to do that. I want to focus my time and attention. I'm a retired judge. I don't work. I've got 100% of my time to devote to this, and I'm passionate about these things, and I want to spend all my time working on issues and policies to help move the city forward. I don't care about cutting ribbons. I don't care about being the mayor pro tem and stuff like that. I don't care if my face is ever seen, but I hope my ideas are listened to, and I've got good ideas. I think about these things. The council could have thought about this and figured this out. It took me 30 minutes to put that together just by going back into the city's financial documents. So I hope I've come across as humble. I've tried.
What do you think of the sales tax, the county sales tax?
It's good for Beaufort, but it won't pass.
What would you do with two? What's the parking lot
situation with Beaufort? That's going to require an incredibly sophisticated approach because we're not going to get that $14-17 million. It also hurts the waterfront park. I want to see the waterfront park developed somewhere along the lines of what's called Sasaki 2. That was a development plan that was adopted already by council. That's the mirror to the other side of the park. But you can't do that unless you solve parking. If you take 100 parking, and I want to trade asphalt for green, for grass, you got to solve that. I'm not sure what the answer to that
is. But the penny sales tax, the sales tax would include money for it.
That's one reason you say that's good for the city. Absolutely.
But what I'm confused about is if there's a plan on the table now to do one with private money, are you going to do it to?
As I understand it, many of those parking spaces won't help the public. That's going to be dedicated to the developers' hotels and all. But one of the things we're not doing in that regard is we're not talking to them. See, the other two said we are. Well, one of them said we are talking to them. That's not true because I asked him, are they talking to you? No, we talked before, but they cut off the conversation. We got to reengage in that conversation to see how the city can maximize utilization of that resource. The others, if we don't get the money, then we're going to have to get, if we don't get the county's one penny sales tax, we're going to have to get real, real, real creative because there is a problem. All the recent studies indicate there's a problem. And I've got to immerse myself in that and think really creatively about how to solve it. I don't know right now how to solve that problem.
I'm sorry. You say it won't pass Why?
It won't pass. The electorate will vote it down. And I'll tell you why, really quickly. If you read my, I hope you'll read it, my little philosophical piece in that about leadership. When the voters lose confidence in their elected officials, they're not going to give them money. In this community, almost universally, I've been all over Beaufort and I've talked to a lot of people about these things we're talking about. Not a single one of them are going to vote for the referendum or the other funding for the school. I've been here 37 years, and I've never seen a school board referendum turned down. But there's so little confidence in the superintendent, so little confidence in the school board, that's going to go down to crushing defeat. And I fear it's going to have long coattails, and that the folks south of the Broad are going to say, we're not going to vote for any of them. And I fear that's what's going to happen.
Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you for your invitation.